Good evening, everybody. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C. We call this show the Piper Report, if only for the reason that there's nothing other else that came to mind. This is, I guess, our fifth night now, and I've been having a good time getting to know a lot of folks out there and hopefully letting some folks who don't know me get to know me a little bit and where I'm coming from. We don't have any guests lined up for this week, but I am going to be having some pretty good guests coming on the show during the next couple weeks, and I know if you haven't heard them before, you'll certainly enjoy hearing them for the first time. One of the benefits of having been around the newspaper business for the last 25 years has been that I've been able to get to know quite a lot of interesting people in my short existence, or maybe it's rather long existence at this point. So like I said, I've got to know quite a few good people and quite a few bad people when it comes right down to it, too. And as a consequence of that, I'm able to make phone calls pretty quickly to people and get them on board. But for tonight, it's just going to be you and me. And I hope if anybody wants to call in, they will. I have a few comments to open up with tonight just to reflect on the past several shows that we've done here. And when I say we, I don't mean we in the royal sense. I mean you and me, we, us, together. Part of the theme, the underlying theme, has been our need to communicate to others outside the listening audience and outside the readership of newspapers like my publication, American Free Press. Now, American Free Press, being a newspaper, is one of these things you can actually hand to somebody and say, here, read this, and they may take it home. But getting them to listen to an alternative radio network is a little bit more work, I guess. I mean, first of all, you either have to be computer literate, which I barely am myself, or in this case, you might have to have a shortwave radio. So that kind of requires a little bit of pushing, you know, to get someone to do it. So I think it occurs to me that what we really need to do now is expand RBN's listener audience to other like-minded folks, because that's what we need to do. And I'm going to be using the venue of American Free Press, certainly, to try to promote RBN a lot more and let people know that there is this network out here, a growing network, that is providing alternative voices and uncensored information, unlike our friends at ABC, CBS, NBC, et cetera, ad nauseum. If there's a little bit of venom in my voice toward these big networks, it's because I don't like them. I don't trust them. And I consider Fox News, which a lot of people swear by. A lot of people like Fox News. I consider Fox News to be one of the more dangerous of the major networks, simply because of the fact that it kind of poses as a friend of traditional conservatives and patriots, for want of a better term. But in fact, Fox, which is the product of Rupert Murdoch, Fox is nothing more than another voice for internationalism, trying to steer the American people, or sheeple, as a lot of our friends like to say, to steer the people into a corral controlled by the international Zionist forces that are so determined to use America, its military, and our national treasure to carry out their deeds and misdeeds throughout the world. So Fox News is no alternative, although a lot of people like to say, well, they say a lot of good things, but, well, no. They should say all good things. Now, I'm tired of sorry excuses like Rush Limbaugh, who used to cut people off if they would call in and mention the Trilateral Commission or the Council on Foreign Relations. I'm tired of the Judas goats. Okay, we're going for a break here, folks, and when we come back, I want to talk about riding in cabs in Washington, D.C. and what you can learn. This is Michael Collins Piper on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Yeah. Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
As a listener of this network, you know that we bring you the news and analysis that you just won't get from the corporate-dominated media outlets in this country. As an educated citizen, you also know that freedom itself is not free, but requires constant vigilance and sacrifice. A radio network such as Republic Broadcasting Network, a rare commodity indeed, also cannot survive on good intentions alone. So the next time you think about going down to the local superstore or electronics store, stop, get online first, and visit RepublicTradingPost.com. We have thousands of items at very competitive prices, and every dollar you spend with us will be invested back into RBN, so that we may continue to bring you the news and information the public so desperately needs. RepublicTradingPost.com, the store that invests its profits in your freedom.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means...
Which means... They still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C. Right here on Capitol Hill, not far from where some of the biggest crimes in history have been committed on a regular basis and are probably even being committed right now. God only knows. Like I say, I'm here in Washington, D.C. I've been here for many, many years. Left a few times, but somehow always come back. And in any case, being here, I have the opportunity to I travel by cab mostly, and I meet a lot of cab drivers and get engaged in some very interesting discussions, largely because of the fact these cab drivers are almost invariably from outside the United States, or I should, you know, they're obviously immigrants here now living in the United States. And I mentioned on last night's show that I was having one animated discussion with a cab driver about 911, and he was in complete agreement with me that the official U.S. government story on the whole business is a lie. And there was this well-groomed young gentleman who was in the cab with us. I have no idea who he was. Here in D.C., incidentally, you can share cabs with strangers. In any case, he had about 4 or 5 blocks to go, and he abruptly says to the driver, driver, I think I'll just get out right here. In other words, he just couldn't handle this, I guess, inappropriate discussion. I mean, it was not as though we were discussing, body functions or anything particularly odious or unpleasant. It's not like talking about your health problems in your loudest voice in a restaurant. But in any case, this gentleman got out of the cab. Well, I've had 2 other interesting experiences with like-minded cab drivers. And I want to pass these on because they're just very interesting, and they go to show precisely how our enemies, how our critics, how the supporters of all of these programs that you and I oppose, it just goes to show you how they operate and how they respond to truth and facts. In one instance, I was with a cab driver, and we happened to be talking about the particularly loaded and controversial subject of the Israeli attack on the USS Liberty. I forget what sparked the discussion, but in fact, I recall the cab driver himself brought it up. And I made several points. Now, by this time, we had stopped and picked up somebody else, and he started to overhear the conversation. He didn't know where the cab driver stood on the subject, but I was saying something to the effect that, there's no question that it was a deliberate attack by the Israelis. I said, all the survivors continue to insist to this day that it was a deliberate attack. The American flag was flying high. You know, I went on and made several points. The young gentleman whom we had picked up, who spoke with a detectable New York accent, suddenly turned to the driver and said, "Driver, don't believe a single word this man is saying. All of this is untrue. These are lies." I started laughing, as I'm even laughing now recalling it. And I think the driver startled the young man by turning to him and saying, "Oh, no, sir, everything that this gentleman has said, it's true. I have read this. I've investigated this story myself." And I said to the young man sitting up front, taking a wild guess that he was a supporter of Israel based upon his effort to call me a liar, I said, "Listen, fella. I said, you know, the truth is on our side." And I said, "No matter how much you people continue to lie about what the Israelis did to those Americans, I can tell you this much." I said, "If the average American knew the full story of the USS Liberty and how the Israelis deliberately murdered 34 Americans and wounded 172 others," I said, "there would be an explosion of anti-Israel feeling in this country unlike anything you've ever seen." And then it came to my stop, and I got out of the cab, and I said, "Have a good evening, fellas." But I found it absolutely amazing that this supporter of Israel was just going to call me a liar, possibly without even knowing the details of it himself, and yet he was prepared to do that. He was going to call me a liar, and I found it very interesting. Well, fast forward to a more recent incident in a cab. Again, I was engaged in a conversation with a cab driver, had been traveling for some time, and we picked up a very attractive young lady right here on Capitol Hill. And the cab driver and I, just by coincidence, maybe not by coincidence, because I like to see what the cab drivers have to say about U.S. foreign policy, we finally, I said to myself, I'm going to switch the subject around to the USS Liberty. And indeed I did. And so the cab driver, of course, became very animated because he was thrilled to hear an American talking so candidly. Well, it was getting close to my stop downtown, and the young lady who was sitting there beside me in the back seat of the cab, complete stranger, of course, but obviously someone who worked on Capitol Hill, made a call on her cell phone, presumably to her husband, and she says very audibly, she says, "Yes, I'm in a cab right now. I'm listening to the most awful garbage being spewed, but I think I can manage and survive till I get home." Now, I pretended not to hear her, and so did the cab driver, but of course we both did. And I just found it so amusing because that term spewed, that's the kind of terminology that's constantly used by the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith and other propaganda outlets for Israel. They use that term spewed. So this young lady who was very clearly a Capitol Hill worker had been very well versed, very well tutored in the proper use of language. And it's amazing how many people, you know, react so determinedly, even if they're completely wrong. And so I just, as I say, I thought those are two very interesting stories that, to me, told me a lot about the psychology of the people who are supporting, as I say, supporting this madness that we call our foreign policy today, this madness that's growing by leaps and bounds. I just skimmed a Washington Post, and I see that the agriculture department's budget is being cut. Remember agriculture? That's the farmers. Those are the people that grow our food, you know, and bring us the milk for the morning breakfast. The people who are the real backbone. Thomas Jefferson said if anybody was the chosen people of God, it was the farmers. Yet that budget is being cut. Family farms are going to hell in a handbasket. But the State Department budget, you know what that means. That's foreign aid to Israel. That budget is being increased this year. I haven't looked at the specifics of it, but I think it's probably pretty safe to say that, as I say, that particular element of the State Department budget will include a nice hike for Israel. You know, these are very strange times in this country when our focus is on establishing democracy abroad and making things right all across the world. But here in America, people were starving. drug abuse is rampant right here in the nation's capital. We have all these domestic problems, and yet George Bush and these Republicans and some of these Democrats that support him, they're sending us off for foreign ventures that cost us a lot of money. Very strange world. Well, you know, we have a couple callers here, and I'd like to try to bring one of them up. We have a break coming very shortly, but let's get Dalton from Tennessee on here.
Hey, good evening.
How are you doing, Dalton?
I'm doing just wonderful. I had a comment about that USS Liberty thing.
Okay.
The first time I heard about that, I can't remember the guy's last name, but it was Dick somebody, and he had a show called Radio Reader, and he read that thing on the air a good number of years ago. And I found it really disturbing, and I went out and found the book, and the book Assault on the Liberty.
Mm-hmm. That's James Ennis's book, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered if you'd ever heard any speculation as to why they did that.
Well, you know, there's a variety of speculation there.
Have you heard the one about the fire control?
The fire control?
Yeah.
Tell me about that. I've never heard that.
Well, from what I heard at one source is that there was substantial evidence that Israeli spies in the United States had stolen a lot of the stuff that had to do with our fire control radar, and that if the Liberty had sat there during the Six-Day War and analyzed all this stuff, that this would have been painfully apparent to the people that were monitoring
okay.
what was going
yes.
on.
Yes, okay. You know, I didn't recognize that terminology, fire control,
yeah.
but now that you elaborated, yes, I have heard that one. There's also speculation that the Israelis were afraid the United States would find evidence that they were killing Egyptian prisoners of war. That was a second story. There's also has been speculation that the Israelis were afraid the United States would gather information on Israel's nuclear weapons program. And then it goes even further that, and actually I think in some respects all of these, are relevant, that they're not exclusive of one another,
Right.
It's just basically the idea that the United States would find out things that the Israelis did not want the United States to find out. But also, and this is the more frightening aspect of it, and this has been documented in a British documentary, the USS Liberty Dead in the Water, it's very, very likely that that the Liberty was deliberately set up by traitors in the United States, namely James Angleton and the CIA, to be attacked. Okay, well, now we have a break here. We'll elaborate on that when we come back. So just hang on there for a moment. We'll talk more about the Liberty. This is Michael Collins Piper on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Thank you. Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
With Valentine's Day rapidly approaching on February 14th, the American Gold Rose Company reminds you that their beautiful collection of real roses dipped in 24-karat gold may be just what you're looking for. The Classic Rose is priced at only $49.95. It's 11 inches long and comes in a beautiful red gift box. There's the Hollywood Elite Rose for only $65, where your special someone receives a long-stem gold rose, 17 inches long, delivered to their door in a beautiful gold presentation box. Both are unique gifts. And when you buy any two gold roses, you'll receive free a genuine rose leaf dipped in 24-karat gold, a $30 value free. The American Gold Rose Company. Call now at 1-800-458-7134. That's 1-800-458-7134. Fresh cut roses dipped in 24-karat gold, delivered to their door that last a lifetime. That's 1-800-458-7134 or online at AmericanGoldRose.com.
Hi, and welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington. We're here on the Republic Broadcasting Network talking about controversial issues. And one of those, one that a lot of people would like to go away, is the deliberate Israeli attack on the USS Liberty in the Mediterranean Sea in June of 1967. 34 Americans killed, 172 others wounded. Big cover-up. Now, the bottom line of it is, you know, this happened, and we were discussing some of the reasons. We have Dalton on here calling in from Tennessee. We're discussing some of the reasons why, and we pretty much hashed out the fact that basically the Israelis didn't like the USS Liberty being there because it was a U.S. spy ship and potentially could uncover secrets that the Israelis obviously don't want uncovered. Now, there was another explanation, too. And that's what I was just about to go into before we went to the break. And that is that the British television, the BBC, had a documentary, USS Liberty, Dead in the Water. And in that documentary, they pretty much, as far as I'm concerned, established conclusively that there was at least one traitor in the United States government, James Angleton, who was a very pro-Israel official at the third highest level, chief of counterintelligence in the CIA. They wanted to sink the Liberty and blame it on the Arabs and therefore give the United States a pretext for going to war against Egypt and the Arab world. In other words, what we might have had here was kind of a forerunner to what I believe the Israelis carried off with traitors in the American government on 9-1-1. In the case of what happened, though, with the Liberties, thank God, you know, before President Johnson was finally advised that, no, indeed, the Arabs had not done it, he canceled an intended nuclear attack, I repeat, nuclear attack, on the city of Cairo. This is something, again, it's not very well known, but yes, we were on the verge of nuclear war in 1967 because of a provocation by the Israelis. And this is not something Mike Piper dreamed up. This is something that has been documented on British television based upon pretty valuable and reliable information as far as I'm concerned. So in any case, Dalton, I mean, what do you think?
Well, I don't, you know, I have a real problem with a lot of ecumenical Christians.
Okay.
And I consider myself a pretty hardcore Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And their stance and belief is basically Israel right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever
Absolutely.
They do, why they're God's chosen people, and it's okay. But the Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. I don't even know if you've ever seen a website called Jews Against Zionism.
Yes, indeed, I have. That's
they're
like, Ricardo.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, they assert in there that God said they weren't to form a state until the second coming of the Messiah, according to those guys.
Well, you know,
the coming of the Messiah, period, because they don't recognize Christ.
Well, you know, that's kind of interesting you bring that up, that here are these very, very devout Jews who are, you know, presumably very traditional, saying that this state of Israel as it exists today should not exist. But, you know, kind of interesting, if you look back into it, you'll find that some of the key people involved in setting up the state of Israel were American gangsters and American financiers with ties to organized crime.
Well, yeah. So, and you ever heard of that book, Blowback?
Yes, I have. I think
that has to do with the incorporation of all these SS and whatnot into American intelligence, and they link that whole thing to them too, to some degree, or that author.
Well, you know, it's very funny because I do know that a lot of people talk about the fact that the former Nazi intelligence chief came to work for American intelligence, General Galen. What's
right.
not very well known is, and what a lot of these people don't talk about is the fact that. That Galen himself became very, very close to the Israelis. So here you had the Israeli intelligence working very, very closely with a former Nazi intelligence chief. So these days when I hear the Israelis bawling and moaning nonstop about the big Jewish bonfire, that's what I call the Holocaust, I keep hearing them moaning and crying about it. I say, hey, well, wait a minute. If these guys were as bad as you say they are, why did you work very closely with a former Nazi intelligence chief? You see,
right.
these little hypocrisies, these little details that most people don't know about, when you bring them up, they tend to cast a whole new light on both history and present day. So it's just another one of these things we have to worry about. Now, go ahead. I was going to say we have another caller waiting to come up, Rita.
Okay.
But Dalton, if you have a few parting comments, please go ahead.
Sure, I just, as far as what's in the Old Testament and that, I buy it. But as far as from what I understand, from what I've heard about the Talmud and that, that's an occultic thing that they brought back out of Babylon with them.
It's pretty scary. It's
and
pretty scary
whole,
reading.
This whole thing of what Bush and the rest of them are into, they're occultists.
That's right.
There's no two ways about it.
Mm-hmm.
They're occultists. And these people, these Christians that are following all this and don't want to hear any of it, they're what's under what the Bible calls a strong delusion.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the sorry part of it. You know, I said last evening that that's all part of the game. Well, I think we have a break coming up here, Dalton.
Right.
So,
take care.
Okay, we'll let Rita come on after the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that diseased organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, and I'm Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., right on Capitol Hill, believe it or not. Scary place to be. A lot of crooks and criminals around here. Okay, we do have a couple callers, and just to remind you, we do have a call-in number. It's 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. 9443. Now let's go to Rita from Texas, who's been very, very patient. Rita, come on up.
How are you doing, sir?
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing real well. I've been doing a lot of research, but I want to thank you very much for being on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Oh, I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And I have a great deal of admiration for the gentleman, you know, who Mr. Statmiller. When I first started listening to this program, I thought I was dealing with a bunch of anti-Semites. But I'm rather open-minded and rather curious. And I had just this morning went on, I think it was whatreallyhappened.com. And,
right, right.
And I have never listened to Mr. Darryl Smith, who apparently was on the French Connection on GNC.
Yes.
And found out he was kicked off.
So I heard. This is funny. Somebody mentioned this last night on this program, and yesterday, in fact, I got a message from Darryl Bradford Smith on my answering machine. I haven't been able to talk to him yet. I don't have his number in France, but apparently he was canned precisely because he's saying the kind of things we're saying here tonight.
He's telling the truth.
He's basically telling the truth. Yeah.
And
I'm going to have him on the show, by the way, to talk about this. But,
Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I wish he could be a regular on even our Republic Broadcasting Network, because after doing some, you know, reflection, I started out as being a very, very avid proponent of Mr. Alex Jones. But I noticed that he was not exposing the Jewish connection.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's lying
can be done by commission as well as omission. But what I found interesting is I then did some research and then found this website that's www.iamthewitness. And this is Mr. Smith.
That's Daryl Bradford Smith. iamthewitness.org, I believe.
It is an excellent website. It is absolutely, because there is an actual video on that web, not video, audio, by Benjamin Friedman, who used to be a Zionist, apparently a converted Christian, who gave a speech in 1961 warning the American people about the Jewish conspiracy for World War III.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad that's up there, because I actually used to have a recording of it myself, and it's very, very rare, and so that's a real service that it's up there on the internet.
Oh, I think he's excellent.
I had several friends who were very good friends of Benjamin Friedman. I never knew him myself, but I knew several people who were very close to him, and Mm-hmm.
And also, what I found enlightening about that website also is it referred. I always wondered where the Anti-Defamation League came out, and apparently there was this guy. Trying to think what his name. He was a guy. He was lynched.
The name escapes me right now. The story of Mary Fagan in Georgia. Yeah.
Exactly. And I was tickled pink because I'm here trying to find out Anyway, he was Jewish. He was a Jew down there in Georgia.
Leo Frank,
Leo Frank. He was apparently there was enough evidence, enough eyewitnesses that he murdered this Miss Fagan, who was 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a long history. I mean, he sounds like a drug pervert, is according to his history. And he thought he was going to be able to escape punishment by getting life in prison and being protected, by the National Guard down there. They took out, I think it was the National Guard was out there to protect him.
I think some of the local folks had a different idea about that.
Oh, yeah, I love vigilantism. They got his butt, and they went out there, and they lynched his butt.
You're a true Texan, Rita.
No, well, I'm a true American, sir. I believe if we don't hang together, we're going to hang separately.
I couldn't agree with you more. Well, Rita, we got a couple callers here, so I got to move on. But I thank you for calling, and I hope you'll keep listening.
Yeah, and you just keep on speaking the truth, because I'm passing all this information through email to other people.
All right, you get everybody listening to rbnlive.com.
Right. Take care. God bless you.
All right, let's go to Keith in Rhode Island.
Hello there.
Hey, Keith, how are you doing?
Oh, fine, thank you, sir. I'm just curious about the Soviet Union's involvement in the Middle East. I know that Bolshevism and Zionism are basically like two heads on the same monster.
Oh, that's interesting you bring that up. Okay.
I know this is probably something that we could discourse on for an entire show or two.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, like, during the Cold War, the Soviet Union usually backed the Arab states that were hostile to Israel, like
mm-hmm.
Syria, Iraq, Egypt, okay, under Nasser. And then the United States, of course, fulfilled its mandatory role supporting Israel. But I'm just wondering, what exactly was...
Well, first of all, you put your finger on something there, which, that is true. We could spend an entire show on it, and it's a very interesting subject. And, it's funny, I've been doing a lot of research into that very area in the course of a new book that I'm working on, which, thank God, I finally finished. But in any case, I'll just mention something. We often hear the stories of a two-headed snake.
Yes.
They actually do exist in biology.
They do, in fact,
actually exist in biology. The Washington Post did a little piece on it several years ago, and they showed a picture of this rare, very rare two-headed snake. Now, I always took this concept of Bolshevism and Zionism to be just precisely what you said, and in many respects it is true. However, there's always a monkey wrench in the works. And you know what I think happened? This is my personal view, and I think a lot of other people will share it too. I know Dr. Platonov, who presented a paper, somebody else read it for me, a Russian scholar presented a paper at our conference we had at the Barnes Review in Washington on this subject, and he essentially pointed out, and this is my understanding of it too, that when Joseph Stalin shot his way to power in the Soviet Union, and he was a brutal dictator, he essentially displaced a lot of the people, the Jews, frankly, surrounding Leon Trotsky. And, of course, he drove Trotsky entirely out of the country. Stalin was more focused on building Russia from within, and consequently, he started to develop alliances with non-Jewish elements in the leadership, in the military, in the KGB. And at the same time, then, the Trotskyites, who'd been driven out of Russia, ultimately then came around, you know, and the State of Israel was set up. Israel itself became, the Israelis themselves started to make attempts to infiltrate the Russian KGB under the Soviet era. So you have all these internal workings that really suggest that there was much more to the Cold War than meets the eye. It was not, you know, cut and dried, because in the United States here, what you had a lot of Jewish Trotskyite communists who were deliberately working and infiltrating the so-called conservative movement back in the 1950s. They were actually some of the people who were becoming the professional and official quote-unquote anti-communist leaders of the day. So there's a whole raft of subversion, even within the anti-communist movement, coming from these elements. And it's, like I say, the full story of the Cold War has yet to be told.
It may be decades before that happens, but I think as far as the neocons are concerned, I'm under the impression that people like Irving Kristol and John Podhoretz, they bailed out of the liberal movement after the true liberals began to be critical of Zionism. Is that possible?
I think I think that's another part of it too. You know, actually, it's kind of funny. You know, it goes back to as far as 1972.
Yes.
In that presidential election between George McGovern and Richard Nixon, you know, everybody thinks, quote unquote, thinks that the Jews, quote unquote, supported McGovern. Well, actually, I guess he actually won the majority of the Jewish vote, but not by a great majority, not like most Democratic candidates would get. And evidently, I just read this the other day, evidently what was happening at the highest power level in the Zionist movement in America was that the signal was given to cut the money for the Democratic Party and give it to Nixon. And that was that was kind of a turning point where a lot of these Trotskyites, mostly Jews, in positions of power and influence, started to really move into the Republican Party. But obviously, it wasn't until Ronald Reagan, you know, we had Watergate, and that pushed the Republicans out for 4 years. But then with the advent of Ronald Reagan in 1980, they started swarming into the Republican Party. And of course, with the advent of George W. Bush, it was kind of like, this whole new era where they came out in the open. In fact, it's kind of interesting. The week before the United States invaded Iraq, that was that was their big triumph. These Trotskyite neoconservatives, these communist conservatives, for want of a better way of describing them. The week of their big triumph, the official Trotskyite magazine in the United States closed its doors. There's something very symbolic about that. You know, it's like, the official Trotskyite publication really no longer needed to exist as a quote-unquote dissenting voice, because the Trotskyites were now in power, posing as conservatives. And, you know, people worried for years about the communists taking over in America. Whoever thought they would take over in the guise of being good conservatives in a Republican administration of George W. Bush?
Well, that's right. Well, I meant to say Norman Podhoretz. He's considered like the godfather of the
Well, oh, yeah, that's right. But
his son is John Podhoretz.
John is
the editor of the New York Post. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting, you know, as I was talking there, lecturing, ranting, it occurs to me that, you know, the old movie, The Manchurian Candidate, the original version, it was done with Frank Sinatra and Angela Lansbury. What people seem to forget, especially our anti-communist holdovers, the people who still want to think that the Soviet KGB is out to conquer the world, what they seem to forget is that in that movie, the whole point of it was that the two anti-communist leaders who were the loudest, most vociferous critics of communism, the one woman, played by dear old Angela Lansbury, who was on Murder, She Wrote in later years, this woman was actually a Soviet agent who was married to one of a figure that was supposed to be somewhat someone like Senator Joseph McCarthy, you know. So in that story, the real communists were going to come to power in America by posing as anti-communists, as conservatives, as Republicans.
Maybe that's the real reason why that movie was pulled from for so long. Because
Richard Condon's writing, he had a tendency to take real fact scenarios, kind of underground, hidden scenarios about things, and put them in the text of his novels. I would recommend Richard Condon, C-O-N-D-O-N, I believe. I would recommend his novels to a lot of people who, if they want to get some insights into the real... to the real dirty work, so to speak. Hey, you know, I just happen to think, Keith, you know, we've gotten away from what your original question was. You ask about the position of Russia in the Middle East, and I think that's a very important question. As I see it, I preface it by saying as I see it, you know, Putin, the leader of Russia right now, is engaged in this multi-level chess game with these Jewish billionaires who are known as the oligarchs, many of whom are actually dual citizens with Israel. He's engaged in this real chess game right now, trying to control their power and trying to take back the resources of Russia for the Russian people. And there's a massive wave of anti-Jewish sentiment across Russia. And part of it stems from the fact that and what's interesting is it stems from the very fact that people remember the Jews as having been the originators of communism. And you know what's seemingly inexplicable is that a lot of the people today who are anti-Semites also have a warm memory of Joseph Stalin. And that comes from the fact that it was Stalin, at least in the view of many in Russia, who was the one who essentially broke or attempted to break the back of Zionist power in Russia. In fact, there's a book. It was written by it's entitled Stalin's Last Crime by Jonathan Brent and Vladimir Naumov, N-A-U-M-O-V. And basically that book documents the theme that Stalin was murdered by Jews within his government for the reason that he was planning a major move against Jewish power in Russia.
So, I heard it was his Jewish doctors.
Yes, that's the So it's a very interesting this whole aspect of what is happening now. So I think that Russia, because of these internal dynamics, they are certainly not. They have to play a very careful game. But I don't think when push comes to shove that they're going to side with Israel. And you know, the United States is playing a very funny little game here where we're lining up standing alone with Israel and the whole world is against us. So, you know,
And yet we never, people like John Negroponte and John Bolton will never come out and openly admit how vociferously pro-Israel they are. They're supposed to be diplomats, right?
Yeah, they just approach these issues as though this is an accepted policy, and they say that there's such deep support from the American people. Well,
yes,
there is deep support, you know, within the Jewish community and within a very large segment of the Christian community, but it's not across the board. And Americans, I think, if push came to shove, if you could honestly poll every American on the subject, first of all, they wouldn't give a damn one way or the other. Number two, if they were fully informed about it, they would say, hey, wait a minute, maybe we shouldn't be standing too firmly with one other country, particularly one that attacked our own USS Liberty ship or one that is kind of like a nuclear bandit running around armed to the teeth and then officially denying that they have all these nuclear weapons. You know, that's the thing. That's why educated, truly educated people who know all of the details can look at the situation logically and say, hey, it's not in our best interests to side with this troublesome little country. But other people who are driven by, you know, a false rendition of biblical teaching, a rendition that's only been around for about 100 years and had absolutely nothing to do with traditional Christian teachings, these people, their only reason they can say to support Israel is because, well, the Bible says so, and the Bible doesn't say so.
Exactly. It's a shame that it's only the ultra-left-wing atheist Jews from Greenwich Village who are critical of Zionism.
And some of the most articulate. Well,
yes, yes.
Keith, we're running out of time here, but if you want to hang over for a minute or so, we can wrap this all up.
Oh, well, I think I'm all set. Thank you for all the time you've given me.
All right, no problem. Call again. Okay, we're going to a break, and then we'll be wrapping it all up pretty shortly here, folks. This is Michael Collins Piper.
The future of health and wellness is here, and a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
With Valentine's Day rapidly approaching on February 14th, the American Gold Rose Company reminds you that their beautiful collection of real roses dipped in 24-karat gold may be just what you're looking for. The Classic Rose is priced at only $49.95. It's 11 inches long and comes in a beautiful red gift box. There's the Hollywood Elite Rose for only $65, where your special someone receives a long-stem gold rose, 17 inches long, delivered to their door in a beautiful gold presentation box. Both are unique gifts. And when you buy any two gold roses, you'll receive free a genuine rose leaf dipped in 24-karat gold, a $30 value free. The American Gold Rose Company. Call now at 1-800-458-7134. That's 1-800-458-7134. Fresh cut roses dipped in 24-karat gold, delivered to their door that last a lifetime. That's 1-800-458-7134 or online at AmericanGoldRose.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Well, folks, we are going to be wrapping it up here in a few minutes, but we do have 2 callers that we want to try to squeeze in before we do hang it up. We have Mike calling from Arizona. Mike, hop on and make it fast.
Yes, real quick, some of these points about Israel and things, people claim that they had purchased the land before 1948. And from what I understand, they only had purchased about 500 square miles of it. also in the Balfour Declaration and things, and then with the institution of Israel in 1948, the Jews only made up about 8% of the population, but the UN gave them 52% of the land. Something else about this land was all desolate, and it was the Jews that made it bloom. From what I understand, in Jaffa, they had orchards there.
They came in and stole all the olive orchards. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yes, oranges, too. At that time, they were exporting 23 million boxes of oranges every year.
Doesn't sound very desolate to me. And, you know, oranges are, that doesn't sound like a product that comes from a desolate land, you know?
No, and also some of these facts, you can check them in the Zionist Connection by Alfred Lilienthal.
Dr. Lilienthal is an old friend of mine, and he's still alive here in D.C. and still doing what he can do at his age and his ill health. But
you bet. And one of the things that he points out in this that the Israelis came in and bulldozed more than 500 villages and specifically didn't keep any records of them, so then they could just turn around and go, oh, but nobody lived here before.
Yeah, that's you know what it all comes down to, as I said from the very beginning, it's amazing the lies that are told in just this one area of history alone. Mike,
yes, Bill.
Listen, I appreciate your call. I'd like to squeeze Chris in here, so we only have a minute or so left here, Chris, so if you want to come up.
Okay. I have a different take on Stalin and the man who was behind him, Kaganovich.
Let's hear about it.
I think that they instilled anti-Semitism in Russia to force Russian Jews towards Palestine, and the communists had always used anti-Semitism as a means to gain control of governments, and then once they gained control of governments, they often put Jews into leading positions in those governments. So I suspect it was a power play to gain control over the governments in the Middle East
and secure
Israel's neighbors for their movement.
That's, I'll tell you what, now that's interesting. I would ask this, though. Now, you know, they set up a Jewish state, Stalin set up a Jewish state in Birobidzhan.
Yes.
Eastern Russia, or not Eastern Russia, but the eastern part of the Soviet Union. A lot of people don't know about that.
And they also wanted to set one up in Minsk.
I recall actually having read that just some time ago. Like I say, the bottom line of that whole thing is there is so much more to be told. You know, what appears to be the case, you know, isn't always, you know, that whole history is not as cut and dried as a lot of people would like to think. And just what you presented here tonight, Chris, is, it's just another example of that there is so much more out there, and it makes it interesting, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Yeah,
the goal has been to spread communism and to force Jews towards Palestine, and they would have been able to accomplish both those goals had they conquered the Middle East with communism and then forced all the Russian Jews out through anti-Semitism to Palestine. Israel would have been a much larger state than it is today.
Good Lord. Well, I hear that music coming up. Chris, we're going to have to close it up for the evening, and I want to thank you and all the other callers who joined us this evening, and we'll be back here tomorrow night, so I hope you'll tune in and tell your friends to tune in. This has been Michael Collins Pfeiffer coming to you from Washington, D.C., right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnlive.com on the Internet. Have a good evening, everyone.
What do you know about the FTAA, the proposed free trade area of the Americas? Proponents tell us that the FTAA is merely about lowering trade barriers. They say it's a plan to create prosperity and enhance freedom throughout the Western Hemisphere, and that busy Americans don't need to be concerned about it. But they aren't telling us about the massive loans, bribes, and transfers of authority. They aren't telling us that their goal is to eliminate our independence by creating a new regional government. They aren't telling us that the FTAA is really part of a huge power grab. The proponents simply aren't proclaiming their true intentions. but you can learn what they are. Visit StopTheFTAA.org. Then tell Congress to reject any plan for the free trade area of the Americas. That's StopTheFTAA.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.